Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Job. Allow me to read the first chapter, and if you would, give your careful attention to the reading of God's word. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth. A blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand, only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house. And it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. I want to encourage you this afternoon to, through Job, get to know yourself and your position in Christ. Through Job, get to know yourself and your position in Christ. we want to look at just this introduction to him. In fact, if I were to title this, it would just be Meet Job. Here he is, presented to us in the opening verses of this book. I want to look at four things. The first being Job's settlement. And with this, you can apply it to yourself. So Job's settlement, and look at your settlement. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now, this introduction seems trivial. I mean, it's telling us who we're talking about, where we're talking about him from. It's just very bland information, and it might be information that even in your own life, if you think of your name, think of where you came from, you might have been born and raised in this area, you might have been transplanted in, you might be like the Wood family and been blown all over the place, and this is where the Lord has now settled you. But even in something as mundane as learning Job's name and where he is from, it begins to crack open for us God's providence in Job's life. When we read further and we read the amount of livestock that he had and the number of children and their practices and how they went about things, all of that is rooted and grounded in the fact that Job was from Uz and Job was his name. That might sound like, well, what does that matter? Have you ever had a quote-unquote coincidence happen in your life? And step back from that and thought of, and I've learned not to ask this around David Merkel because he'll actually figure out the odds for me. But I say, what are the odds? Well, actually, I'll tell you what the odds were. If I carry the six, and I still don't know for me, but he knows. Run into somebody in an airport across the country. How many little things had to happen for that quote-unquote coincidence to take place? It's astronomical. It's mind-boggling when you think of all the different things that God is doing to shape who you are, including your name and where you're from. A story that you'll get sick of, but I still just laugh because I enjoy it so much, is sitting at Stewart's almost a year ago, talking to Tony about my brother-in-law, and piping up from the other end of the table is Vince Skorek saying, did you say Keith Hash? Yes. We were on a boat together across the Atlantic. I'm like, what? What? We bunked in this. What? God is at work in our lives. And whether you're from Dunkirk, Ohio, or Timbuktu, God is using every little, seemingly insignificant aspect of your life to shape who you are in Christ. God has settled you where he has settled you and whom he has settled you with, or single folk without. But that is his providence in your life. He's using it to shape you into the child he has desired and whom he has adopted into his family. The Lord uses all providences, even your address, to bring about his perfect will in your life for the praise of his glorious grace and the sanctification of your soul. We will see that God is using all of these things in Job's life, not to make him happy per se, but to make him holy. To make him holy. Secondly, Job's stature, or your stature, you might look at it. We're introduced to this man. His name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright. Job was a godly leader in his home and in his community. William Henry Green of Princeton, the old Princeton, said he was perfect in the sense of completeness. His uprightness was not of that partial, limited kind which restricts itself to certain classes of duties while neglecting others, or confines itself to special times and occasions while at others is laid aside. A man can be devout in church and dishonest in his business, penitently ask God's forgiveness and yet be unforgiving himself. Who can profess great love to the Savior and yet be heartless to Christ's needy poor? This was not the style of Job's piety. He was perfect as well as upright. He was blameless. And in our culture today, we can have people say, I'm just heartbroken at the state of the family, at the divorce rate, at all that goes on. And yet, I will now declare I'm going to vote for this guy who appears to be a successful businessman and yet is on his fourth wife. How we can make that distinction is beyond me. It's added a new level to being Reformed Presbyterian. We're already used to it with other issues, but now we have to say, no, we're not that kind of Presbyterian, right? Far from being as middle down the road as you can get. But Job's blamelessness and uprightness was woven throughout his life. Was he a sinner? Absolutely. Did he fail? Of course he did. But he was not known and marked by that. He was known by his piety and his desire to serve the Lord in all ways in his life. We see this in his sacrificing for his children. He did it all the time. We see it in his counseling the folk of us. In James 4, or in Job 4, behold, you have instructed many, and you have strengthened the weak hands. Your words have upheld him who is stumbling, and you have made firm the feeble knees. These are what we would understand to be counseling terms, coming alongside someone and helping them through the difficulties of life. Job had done that, and he was known for it. He was known for his piety, his blamelessness, his uprightness, his completeness. My friends, we need to remind ourselves that Job did not get there on his own. He got there through the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, applying to him the person and work of Christ, the exact same scenario that is at work in the life of the redeemed that are here today. And so we should pursue that uprightness. We should pursue that piety. We should pursue that completeness in all of our life. Not that we're holy and upright in this part of our life, but over here, whatever goes. But all aspects of our life should be aligned with God's word and seeking after his will. And thirdly, we see Job's sanctification. He was one who feared God and turned away from evil. We can have a larger catechism moment here as we ask with the catechism, what is sanctification? Sanctification is a work of God's grace whereby they whom God hath before the foundation of the world chosen to be holy are in time through the powerful operation of his Spirit, applying the death and resurrection of Christ unto them, renewed in their whole man after the image of God, having the seeds of repentance unto life, and all other saving graces put into their hearts, and those graces so stirred up, increased, and strengthened, as that they more and more die unto sin, and rise unto newness of life. See, Job's stature was that he was blameless and upright. That's a horizontal relationship. As people knew him, as they saw his reputation, as they interacted with him in the gates of the city, as they dealt with him in business, they knew he was blameless and upright. But now we understand how that horizontal could be because of the vertical relationship. He feared God and consequently turned away from evil, turned away from anything that would violate God's holy character and law. Job was a sanctified man. And as we see the summary of scriptural teaching in the larger catechism, we understand that it is a gift. When we repent, it's because it is a gift. All the saving graces are put into our hearts. They are stirred up, they are increased, and they are strengthened so that we might, listen to this, more and more die unto sin and rise unto newness of life. See, linguistically, when you look at the word death, the word die, it's not a word of degree. Now, we can say someone is dying, but even if someone is dying, that means they're still living. They're coming up to that. But once they cross that threshold, there's not a degree. Now, this guy's dead. That guy's really dead. This guy's mostly dead. How does that? No, there's no degree. You are either alive. Sorry, I couldn't resist. You either are alive or you are dead. And yet, what are we called to in the sanctifying work of the Spirit? To die more and more unto sin. See, evangelism is the Spirit gaining more ground through the gospel outside of us. Sanctification is the Spirit gaining more ground through the gospel inside of us. And Job was a sanctified man, marked by these two simple phrases: he feared God and he turned away from evil. Young people, remember that those two things go hand in hand. If you claim to fear God and refuse to turn away from evil, you will be destroyed. And if you try to turn away from evil without fearing God, it'll never work. It'll never work. Fourthly and lastly, we see Job's safeguardedness. We might just even simply say his safety. And consequently, we should see our own. We see this a little further down in verses 9 through 11. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." Have you ever prayed for a hedge of protection? Have you ever heard someone pray for a hedge of protection and wonder, where does that come from? Well, it comes from Job. Because God had done just that. God in Christ had protected him on every side. You can hear the tension and frustration in Satan's voice. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side?" I mean, this ticks off the devil. He would love to just go in and have free reign in Job's life and make it a literal hell for him. But he can't, because God has protected him. And my friends, God has protected you. We can't make God put up a hedge of protection. But it is not improper to ask. And we must understand, as Job did, if there is a break in the hedge ever, if the enemy comes in like a trickle or like a flood, that it is by the hand of the sovereign that that happens. He has allowed it. He is using it. There is spiritual benefit coming that could not come otherwise without the harassment of the great hater of your soul. And yet, even that harassment will follow the grand design of the great lover of your soul. And we must understand this. The safety in which Job resided is the same safety in which we reside. That nothing comes upon us without the sovereign permission of our loving Heavenly Father. And if it comes upon us, it is because there is no other way than that to make us more like Jesus. To either expose an idol or a weakness or a sin, whatever it might be, it will purge us and cleanse us to make us more like our blessed Savior. So even as we hear these introductory words, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. We should pause and we should reflect. Say, this is who Job was. This is what he was about. This is what he was known for. Who am I? How is the Lord working in my life, even in what seems like the most mundane circumstances? How is he working in my life and the challenges that come along? How is he working in my life and the grand successes or the morbid failures? How is he sanctifying me? How is he making me more like Christ in who he has made me to be and where he has placed me and how he is operating in my life in horizontal relationships and what he's calling me to in the vertical relationship with him? My friends, through Job, you can get to know yourself and you can get to know your position in Christ, that protected, sanctified position that Job held is yours in Christ as well. Stand with me as I pray. Lord, as we embark on learning more of this man named Job, Lord, may we be struck by his character and reputation, his sanctification, his safeguardedness in Christ. Lord, may we pause and consider who we are, who you have made us to be, what you have made us to do, and how you are using even those things to sanctify us, to make us more like our Savior. Lord, we praise you knowing that you are sovereign, that you are in complete and utter control of every moment of our lives. And Lord, we would seek to trust you, knowing that even when the enemy comes in, it is for our good and for your glory. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.